Gentlemen, we are currently holding on Daf Beis Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph. Right, we are in the middle of discussion. What is the usefulness of kilayim? You're allowed to. The Mishnah said you're allowed to send clothing, whether it's sewn or not sewn, or even kilayim on Yom Tov as a gift. And the Gemara. And then the Mishnah said the general use. The rule is that you must have a. You're allowed to send things which have a use, a ready use on Yom Tov. And the Gemara said, well, what's kilayim useful for? Sand. Ready clothing is useful, you can wear it. Clothing which is not yet ready, you can use as a blanket, you can use a towel, there are things you can use it for. However, kilayim, you're not meant to get any, you're not meant to wear it all. So what use is it? Gemara says, Ela be kashin. Right? What if it's clothing which is kilayim? However, it's very stiff. It's made from a very, very stiff material, therefore it really will never curl up over you. In such a case, you're allowed to, for sure you're allowed to sit among the Torah. Even midarabanan, you're allowed to, because we're not worried, it'll curl up over you. However, this is similar to what Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, said. Hai nam de gama de narash shalar. Sharia. Right, so. Right, this place, there's a place called Nourish, and Namta Gamda, this is a piece, Namta is a beged, it's a garment, right? Gamda is very, very stiff, so it's very, very stiff. I don't know what Namta, it's a type of garment, right, which was made in a place called Nourish, Sharia, it's permitted, you can sit on it. Right, even though it's kilayim, it makes no difference. Amar Papa, Pap said, "Our delin ain behen mishum kilayim." Right? Right. Our delin is basically the solvashu. Right. Even if the solvashu has a little bit of kilayim in it, which apparently they did in those days, that's permitted. Right? Amar Rava. Rava said, Hane, tzari, da pshiti, ein behem mishum kilayim. Right? Basically, a wallet can be made from kilayim. Right? Why? Because the coins make it quite stiff. Right? And therefore, it doesn't do anything to keep you warm. Devazrani, right? If you use it's a pouch for grains. Yishban mishum kilayim. Then already should not be made from kilayim. It should not be made from kilayim. If you carry it around, it might really wind around you a little bit and keep you warm. Ravashi Amar. Ravashi said, Echad zev echad zein b'ayim mishum kilayim. Ravashi said neither of them has a din of kilayim. Both of them are stiff enough. They won't wind around you. They won't have kilayim. The fisher ein derechim kach. Why? Not because they can never wind around you. Maybe they can, but it's not the way. Then it's not what it's used for. It doesn't really wind around you. That's not normal. So maybe theoretically in some other universe it can, but you are permitted to use that as a pouch for grains nevertheless. Okay, now we're going to get back. You're not allowed to send on Yom Tov a sandal which has nails into the sole to make it grip the ground better. Why? So number 7, my time later, Gemara says, why can't you? Mishum Maisashaya, because of a special story that happened. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Sandal Masumar Asur Nala, it's forbidden to wear this shoe at all, not just on Yom Tov, it's forbidden to wear it. Umutra Lataltale, however, it is permitted to move it around. Asur Lunale, Mishum Maisashaya, it's forbidden to wear it because of something that happened. We're going to hear what happened in a second. Umutra Lataltale, but however, it is permitted to move it. Bitaksani in Mishalchen, because you were told that you're not allowed to send this shoe as a gift with someone else. The implication is you can touch it, you can move it around, otherwise it's just muktzah. Obviously you can't send it. It's muktzah. If you thought it was forbidden to move it at all, it's forbidden to even move it. Obviously you can't send it with someone, says Gemara. It's forbidden to send a shoe which has not yet been sewn together. Pshita, that's also obvious. You would have thought that if it was already pinned together, then it'll stay together enough to be used on Yom Tov, and therefore you can send it. Kamash Malan, we learn that it is nevertheless forbidden to send a shoe which has not yet been sewn together. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Lomin Alavan. A white shoe should also not be sent according to Rabbi Yehuda Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Matir B'Shachar Roiser Alavan is permitted to send a black shoe. It's forbidden to send a white shoe. Mipnei Shetzarech Beitzas Ha Gear, because it needs to be dyed with a thick black paint, right? He used to refer to anything which was thick as a basic an egg, because an egg's white is relatively thick. Rabbi Yossi Oser B'Shachor Mneshet Tzarech Letzach Tzechol. Rabbi Yossi says you shouldn't even send a black shoe because it still needs to be shined. You can't send a shoe which is not ready to be worn. An unshined, unpolished shoe is not ready to be worn. Good muster, by the way. The Leipzig and not disagreeing, Markias. Reading on Markias, ready to talk about what was ready, what was useful in their time, in wherever they lived. So, for example, here where people do use white shoes, in our day and age, people often wear white shoes, and it'd be permitted according to both of them to send a white shoe. It's not a problem with the colour, it's a problem with what people wore. Basri Mar Bisra Lesachas, Basri Mar Bisra Le'el. Right, the distinction was basically in how they wore the shoe, right? The question was, if the shoe was really, the leather was really properly visible. In one place, it was, and it wasn't, right? Because of the, one place, the shoe, the foot was actually mainly outside of the shoe, therefore you couldn't really see the leather. Therefore, it didn't need to be shined. Another place, no, the shoe was, foot was mainly inside the leather, therefore it did need to be shined. That was the distinction, that was what, they weren't really arguing, it was just different cases. Fine. The Gemara says, Zeha klal kol shana osim bobo yom. We're now quoting the bit of the mission that says the general rule is that you may not derive benefit, you may not send something which is not useful on Yom Tov. Rav Sheshes Shara Lehula Rabbanon Shaduri Tfilin Beyom Atava. Rav Sheshes allowed people to send as a gift to someone tfilin on Yom Tov. It's obviously a problem. I'm really a buyer, but he said, V'han tzan kol shana osim bobo yom v'yom tov mishal chanesu. Didn't we say that you can send something which we get benefit from on Yom Tov, implying you can't send things that you can't get benefit from on Yom Tov, like tefillin, which are muktzah? I'm not buyer, but he said, tefillin ho'il ve'asli yadan neimabu. Hachigamra, this is what it said, kol shenoy sembo b'chol meshal chanasa b'yom tov. You can get anything which you can get hana'a from in the chol, anything which is a theoretically useful item, and be sent as a gift on Yom Tov. Tefillin is certainly a useful item. The fact it's not useful this second because it's Yom Tov is irrelevant. It's a useful item. White shoes, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are a useless item. Therefore, they cannot be sent on Yom Tov. Amrbay. Tefillin hol ve'asli yadan neimabu milsa. Since we started talking about tefillin, let's continue talking about tefillin. Haya ba baderech or tefillin barisho v'shakal abcham miniach yado aliyen ad shemagil beisar. If you were traveling along on Friday, it's right before Shabbos, right? And you were wearing your tefillin. In those days, I think I've mentioned this before, they would wear tefillin all day. They wouldn't just wear them for davening, right? They would wear them all day. Really, you're meant to, but now we're afraid that if you were to wear that, I mean, it's forbidden to wear tefillin while you're having improper thoughts, or when you are passing gas, and we're afraid that people can't control either their bowels or their thought processes sufficiently to be able to wear tefillin all day, and therefore we only wear it during davening, right? But if you are the sort of person who is at a madrig where you can really wear tefillin all day, like they were, then, and it's now Erev Shabbos, and you're walking home and you're wearing a tefillin still, you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. So what should you do? Cover them with your hand, so nobody will see that you're wearing tefillin. Right? Because it's forbidden to wear tefillin on Shabbos. But don't take them off. Keep wearing them all the way home. Why? Because, presumably, the assumption is you're in place without a mikruv, and therefore, if you were to take them off, you can't carry them. However, if you're wearing them, then you're wearing them. Something which is worn can be carried around on Shabbos. But we don't want people to see that you're wearing tefillin on Shabbos, because that's forbidden. Therefore, cover it, and then keep going. Hey, Yosef Beis HaMidrash, V'Sefillin Barosho. If you were sitting in the Beis HaMidrash, and you're wearing your tefillin, and Shabbos comes in, V'Kidei Shalav Yom, and Shabbos came, Miniach Yad Aleihem Ad She'Magi El Beitzah, you cover them, walk home. You don't have to take them off in the Beis HaMidrash and leave them there. Masiv Rav Huna Breda Ravika. Rav Huna Breda, the son of Ravika, responded, Haya Baba Derech Asilim Barashoy, Kidesh Alaviyom, and Niyach Yadel Alayamad Shemagila Beis Asamach Lachomo. Right? If you were traveling and you're wearing a tefillin, it's before Shabbos, and Shabbos came in, then what should you do? Put your hands on them and keep traveling until you reach a place, a house right next to the wall of the city and leave them there, ask the person who lives there to mine them for you until after Shabbos. Meaning, you can't wear them until you get home. You have to take them off as soon as you can, just as soon as you practically can. Not, you're not obligated to take them off and leave them on the side of the road. Leikasha, this is not a contradiction. Ha, de mintera, de le mintera. What the distinction is whether they will in fact be safe there. Right? If you've got a place where you can leave them and they'll be safe, sure, take them off and more, take them off earlier. You absolutely should. However, if you cannot take them off earlier and they'd be safe, then don't. There is an obligation to guard the tillin, right? And therefore, you cannot take them off. Indeed, le mintera, if they were, if they're not, cannot be guarded. My area, barosho, afilu mech. Machatan be'ara nami. Right? So the Gemara, if they're not going to be preserved where they are, why are you talking about you're walking along and you found tefillin on your head? If you found them on the ground, we would tell you to put them on and move them. Because tefillin have to be guarded. Tefillin have kedusha, they must be guarded, they must be preserved. Obviously, you're not going to just leave tefillin lying around in such a state of disrespect. Such a thing is unimaginable. The heart, nan, didn't we teach a Moshe Tfilin Machnison Zug Zug? We taught that somebody who finds Tfilin just lying around, a whole pile of Tfilin, should now put on two pairs of Tfilin at once, because that's the maximum there is room for on your head. Walk them into the city, take them off, go out, put on another two pairs of Tfilin, walk them into the city, and so on and so forth, because like we said, wearing Tfilin is not forbidden midorai, sometimes it's only forbidden midarabanan. However, right, and therefore you can put them on and wear them in, right? That's not carrying. This is loikasha, this is not a problem. Ha, de mintra mecham mas ganve o mecham mas kalve. Ha, de mintra mechamas kalve veloi mintra mechamas ganve. The distinction is, what are they being guarded from? If they will be guarded, if they are well preserved from thieves and from dogs, then you shouldn't even pick them up. You should leave them where they are, come back for them after Shabbos. Right? And if you're found some, and if you're wearing them, you should take them off as soon as you can. If they're well preserved from dogs, but not from thieves, on the one hand, you should not put them on if you find them, but on the other hand, you may continue wearing them if you're already wearing them until you find a place to put them, that they'll be well preserved from both dogs and thieves. Why? Right. The simple The reason why it was just finished, why would you have thought this is not true? Because Roy Listini is wrong in all, because you would have thought most thieves are Jewish. They won't deliberately neglect, they won't deliberately disrespect film. Kamash Milan, we learn that that's not the case. They will, one of two things, either most thieves are not Jews, hopefully, right? Or minimally, that most thieves will in fact disrespect film, which is probably very likely. Now, what's going on, right? If dogs find tefillin, this tefillin's dead. It's going to be destroyed. If thieves find tefillin, they probably won't be destroyed. They'll probably be sold. Right? Therefore, right, if you find tefillin lying around, right, if you're afraid a dog will come along and eat it, then save it. Tefillin should be preserved. However, if you're just afraid it'll be stolen and sold to someone, in principle, tefillin can be sold, can be bought and sold to people. This is not... Maybe the people who find it won't tefillin in the most... won't treat the tefillin in the most appropriate fashion, but still... Right, the tefillin themselves will not be destroyed, and therefore you cannot simply wear them into the city. You not violate the derabbanan of putting on tefillin on Shabbos. However, right, when it comes to your own tefillin that you're already wearing, you're not obligated to take them off in such a way that they'll be stolen, that you'll lose them forever. That far you're not obligated to go, and therefore you may wear them until a place where you can take them off, and you're pretty sure they'll still be there when Shabbos goes out. Hadron Alach Beitza. We'll start on the second parak tomorrow, please God. Shkoyach, gentlemen.